God gave me a message, and I'm going to preach it this morning, talking about Elisha's call to God's glory. Elisha's call to God's glory. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to start sort of in the middle of the text for the sake of time, but then I will come back and lead you into this, and I'll mostly be preaching to preachers. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. Speaking of Elijah, and the Lord said unto him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I've left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Here we come upon Elijah, and we see his experiences in his past as God's prophet. He was a prophet to the nation Israel, preaching to them the warnings and the things that God wanted them to know. And here we see Elijah. He had just come out of the cave. He'd stood there and he saw the mountains rent, the fire come from heaven up on the mountain, and then that still small voice. And he wrapped himself in his mantle, and the Lord began to speak to him. Elijah is spiritually, emotionally, and physically drained. His ministry is coming down like some of us to the end. It's almost complete. And just like no doubt I'll be in a few years, discouraged. Discouragement murders ministries. Here this man is discouraged. But God gives him direction. He tells Elijah what to do. I want you to anoint a king for Israel. And then when you get that king anointed, I want you to go anoint another king that's going to give deliverance. And then when you get finished with that, I want you to go find Elisha, and I want you to anoint him prophet in thy stead. Well, I tell you, for a preacher, that's not good news, is it? To know that you're going to be replaced. And we want to find out this morning about Elisha. We heard the message preached last night about Elijah, about all those different places he went, what the meaning of them was, and I thank God for that, and that's going to add to my message as we go through this. But you know, Elijah went and found Elisha. So we want to pick up at verse 19. So he departed, Elijah did, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. By the way, you see that Elisha was a busy man. I don't think God can use lazy people in the ministry. I don't think that a man in our churches that's lazy and never does anything is ever going to be productive, even though he may say he's called to preach. Amen. And if you won't call that a weakness on my part, I despise laziness in anybody. I despise laziness in God's people. I despise laziness in God's preachers. But God took him to a man, Elisha. He was a successful farmer, evidently. They were out there in the spring plowing the fields with these 12 yoke of oxen, and he was out there plowing with the 12. So let's see what happened here. And Elijah passed by him, and he cast his mantle upon him. So here he finds Elisha, and he conferred upon him the office of prophet, which God was pleased to accompany with the gifts and graces of the Spirit of God to fulfill his ministry as a prophet. So Elijah has done according to the will and purpose of God. So now we come to Elisha's responsibility. There is a responsibility that goes with the ministry. So the first thing we want to see here in verse 20 and 21, we're going to say this is Elisha's departure. Look in verse 20 and 21. He left the oxen. He ran after Elijah. And he said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, then I will follow thee." He said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him. He took a yoke of oxen and he slew them. He boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and he gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So what Elisha did, realizing what God had done for him, this great ministry that the Lord was bringing to him, if you will, what did he do? The first thing then, he destroyed his attachment to the old life and profession. He is called to be a prophet of God. We are called to be preachers of God. And I'm going to say some things and understand what I'm saying. In Ephesians 4, we have the great apostle Paul. He's saying, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation that you're called." From this day on, Elisha's vocation is prophet. From the day that we're called of God, we have this high calling, this holy calling, to be preachers of the gospel, to pastor, be missionaries, whatever capacity it is that God would have us in. See, first of all, Paul is saying, "I'm a servant, a bond slave." And he gives us an example. Now, I'm sure we can see this example in Elisha, the man of God. A bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of how much he's loved us and all the things that we've heard in these great messages here in this Bible conference about our loving Savior. What more can we be except bond slaves of his? Amen. We understand what a bond slave is, and to give ourselves because of his great love to us, we're to give him all of our time and devotion to serve him. And then, Paul gives us that encouragement. He uses himself as an example, as a bond slave. He said, "Let's walk worthy of the vocation." I'm going to be content to say that Elisha, he walked worthy of that vocation that he was called to as prophet of God. Amen. So Elisha departed. He destroyed his attachment to the old life and profession. And he devoted himself to the man of God. And you say, well, the pastor said something here, and I think you disagree with him. I don't disagree with Brother Asbury. Most of my ministry I've worked. He used two examples of men that worked. But I know both of those men. I know that not one time in their ministry did they ever say, Lord, I've got to stay here. I can't leave my profession. You talk to those men afterwards and you know what I'm saying. I know a lot of men have to work to support their families. And the Bible really condemns a man that won't work and feed his family. But when we get to this point where we have this business, we have this job, we have this profession, we can't do away with that, we can't do without that, I'll bet you will. I've known some men that did, you know why. God took it away from them. I know one preacher in particular. He was dilly-dallying around with the Lord, and he couldn't quit his job. He had this good job, this good profession. Lord, he couldn't leave that. And the business, it was a large business. Large corporations started to go down. There's a lost man come to him one day, and he said, Preacher, I've heard you say you'd like to go out and just serve the Lord. You know what he said? He said, I'm not going to just go out and serve the Lord and get away from us. They're going to close us down if you don't. A lost man. And boy, I'm telling you, that's getting terrible. And then, not only did he depart his whole life, what did he do? He devoted himself to the man of God. Young preachers, devote yourselves to these men of God that have gone the last mile. They've gone to the depth and they've risen to the heights. You know what I find? Not many successful preachers started out on top. Amen. They never started out with a big church. Had a friend. He said, I used to go for prayer on Monday with several preachers. And he said, we would go out to lunch afterwards to a restaurant. And he said they would drive up in their nice big new cars. And he said, I would drive up my old clunker. He said they would order steak and all the fixes, and I'd get the cheapest thing on the menu. And he said, I'd sit there and weep and cry and thank God I was with them watching them eat. He said, brother, he said, I knew the price that they had paid to be able to sit down and eat a steak. And he said, I just enjoyed seeing them eat that steak so much. He said, I enjoyed seeing them drive their cars that God had given them so much. Because he said they'd given their whole life devoted to Christ, to serve God in his churches. Later on, you'll see Elisha pouring water on the hands of Elijah. Amen. You know what he did? He placed himself under the direction of God's man. He took advantage of the age, the wisdom, and experience of Elijah. What is happening in churches today, the failures you see, the splits, the division, is that some young preachers, they found a better way. They found the way that these old preachers, they just didn't know that good way that they'd found. The Bible says, where is that good way? Walk in it, find it, walk in it. Here, the Word of God. Find these men of God. Take advantage of age and experience, wisdom. He took time to listen and to learn from Elijah. Can I say this morning? To rise up to be prophet in the stead of Elijah, you know what he did? He first stooped to serve the man of God. He stooped low to serve Elijah and all of his needs. He devoted himself to Elijah and listening and learning and observing and doing. See what he was doing? He was developing his ministry. You know where the greatest leaders come from? I learned this a long time ago. The greatest leaders that you'll ever see are those that were good followers.
Amen.
They knew to follow. There was a young man in my ministry years and years ago, 1980. He was saved under my ministry. He listened to me. He followed me. He learned from me. The Lord called him to preach. He's been a successful leader because he's one of the best followers ever had. Another young man came into my ministry, said he was called to preach. I found out when I started trying to teach him, I don't know how, boy, but he already had more on the brain than I did. He didn't need to listen to me. He got trying to tell me how to run the church. You know where that young man's at today? He's in a denominational church with seven presiding elders. He is the great umpah, if you will, over that church, and it's a waste. Doesn't believe anything to go anywhere. We need to be followers in order to be leaders. Develop our ministry. That the Lord is going to give him. That's what he's doing. What'd he do? He dedicated himself. Look over here in chapter 2. Now, we went through this last night. 2 Kings chapter 2. And we looked at some of this, so we won't spend a lot of time on it, but just look at this. 2 Kings chapter 2. And look in verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. For the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. They went on to Bethel. He was dedicated, this man of God. Elisha, I'm getting old, I'm done for, I'm going to go up to heaven. He said, that's all right. I'm going with you. I'm not going to stop being with you. I've dedicated my life to you and to the Lord, and I'm going to be prophet in your stand. So I'm going to stay with you. Could we do any less or any greater than to stay with God's men, regardless of what? I tell you what, I'm going to say something about this in a little bit. I find it high honor to still learn and listen. I'm 62 years old. I still learn and listen and observe and take advantage of the wisdom of older men.
Amen.
If I have a problem in the mission work, I will call one of these older preachers with all their wisdom and experience and knowledge and confide in them.
Amen.
And let them help me through.
Yes.
Take advantage of their wisdom that God has given them. Dedication. Folks, we don't see much of that anymore. This dedication to the cause, to the man of God. And then they go on and they come down to Jordan. I don't think Elisha had ever experienced this before. But you know, they come down to Jordan, and over here on the other side is the sons of the prophets. And Elisha comes down with Elijah to Jordan. And here in verse 8, here's this mantle again. The one he wrapped around himself, the one he placed upon Elisha when he called him, he took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so they too went over on dry ground. Here, Elisha experienced the demonstration of God's power in this prophet. He's going to be reminiscent, this prophet, that we go back and see all these marvelous, great acts of power on God's part that God had done through Elijah. Elisha had seen that firsthand. He'd experienced that power of God. See, that's one of the things in following God's man as God's preachers and taking advantage of their wisdom. We see the power of God displayed. We not only hear it by word, but we see it in action. And they come over Jordan, and of course, Elijah's going to be taken up. And look with me in verse 9 and see this. Here we see Elisha's desire. It came to pass when they were going up over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'd like to have that mantle. Give me that mantle. I'll tell you what else I'd like. I'd like your eloquence and your preaching. I'll tell you what else I'd like. I'd like to have your unique characteristics that I can display those before the world. Is that what he said? No. Elisha said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit, that's what I want. I want a double portion of thy spirit. Sometimes we seek after those things that God never intends for us to have. I learned a long time ago, like Brother Asbury said, what you see is what you get. That ain't much. But I never try to be what the other man is. I've never tried to pattern my preaching, my delivery, or my pulpit characteristics after some other preacher. I want the Spirit and the power of God upon my ministry, don't you? That's what I desired. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It's not left to me. Here's the conditions. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha said and saw it, he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. He went back and stood by the banks of Jordan. His desire. Oh, how we need desire. He had this deep desire within his soul that I think every preacher of the Lord should have. To have a double portion of the wonderful grace and blessing of the Spirit of God upon us. To be able to do the ministry. And you know what happens immediately after this? Over here on the other side are the sons of the prophets, and they're saying, now what will he do? What's he going to do now? He'll probably make a fool out of himself because his master's gone. This great man of God that did so many great things in Israel, he'll probably make a fool out of himself. Let's sit here and see what he'll do. So you know what he did? He picked up that mantle and goes down. You know what he did? He smote the waters. Yeah. He said, I'm on the wrong side of the river, fellas. I'm coming over where you're at. I need to get over. So he took that mantle that fell, that mantle which Elijah wrapped himself into the mouth of the cave when God spoke to him, that mantle that was laid upon him when it had the office of prophet conferred to him, that mantle that Elijah smote the waters with and they opened up, he went down and he smote the waters. You know, we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And you know something? It's wonderful to revisit the work of God. I like to sit down and reminisce about all these old preachers and the great things they did. In the good old days, when we had great revivals. But when we sit down, fellows, let's remember one thing. It's not just to sit down and reminisce, but it's to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen. See, those good old days that we're reminiscing on, we need to leave memories with our children, our grandchildren, of the good old days that we're having now. Amen. And we can have those days. We're saved to serve God. We're emissaries of the God of heaven. Ephesians 2:10, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, never stop working. I had a man tell me the other night, less than a week ago, he said, the Lord builds this church. I said, I know that. I said, let's leave that to the Lord. But I said, God gives us ministries and responsibilities, and he leaves that to us, and so let's do our part and then leave the other to God.
Amen.
What was it that God had told Elijah? He said, anoint Elisha to be prophet in thy room. Elisha will be God's man in God's place doing God's ministry. God needs men in his place with the spirit and power of God upon them doing the ministry from the heart. Men who will give themselves to prayer and the preaching of the word. Those that will minister to God and to mankind. Not worrying about the results. Oh, we say we don't worry about the results. But then we go out and we'll do this or this or this and that. And it just doesn't work the way we want to. So we just go home and give up and quit and sit down. I've had people say to me, why do you keep on knocking on doors and going out on visitation, going to hospitals and nursing homes? Is it working? I said, sure, it's working. Folks, I'm telling you, you're looking at the preachers 100% successful. Did you know that? You say, are you really? I said, absolutely. You know why? Every time I preach the gospel to somebody, it's a savor of life unto life, or it's a savor of death unto death. And I've delivered my soul. I'm going to be like Paul. Be free from the blood of all men.
Amen.
You can call me an Arminian. That's all right. You know, you can go down in the store and sometimes these people will take a label off a pair of pants or a shirt or something from some foreign country and put it on one that's made in America. But that don't alter the quality of the one that's made in America at all.
Amen.
That label doesn't change anything. And I like it when men call me by labels. Don't you?
Amen.
So Elijah's gone to heaven. He's departing. The mount is falling to Elisha. Listen. Real soon now, the mount is going to fall to some men that's sitting right here in this congregation. The mount is already fallen to some. And to some, it's going to fall in the future. But the mantle is going to fall. 35 years ago, I was called to preach. Most of the men that taught me, encouraged me, are now in glory. I'm of that senior group. I go in the restaurant now. They don't ask me anymore if I want a senior discount. They just go ahead and say, you're a senior, we give you a discount. And I fuss at my wife, why don't you tell them you're a senior? She said, I'm not a senior, I'd be lying to them. I said, yeah, but you look as old as me. But she knows better. But look in verse 14 here in this text. And he smote took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know what we see in that? You know, I go about here and there, and there's a lot of divisive questions, questions that will divide us, cause controversy over inconsequential things. But here is a decisive question. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know what he did first? He emulated Elijah. He emulated Elijah. You know what we see here? An effort to equal or excel Elijah in his actions and work for the Lord. Folks, we need to realize that Jesus Christ, he said in Matthew the 16th chapter, I will build my church. Amen. And then he made the prototype. And after he left that prototype, he left the blueprint for all succeeding churches to follow after. And we look down through history and we see all these men of God that emulated that prototype, that followed that blueprint. And great churches were built by the Lord. We need to emulate those that have followed on to follow after the Lord. In Hebrews 13, 17, consider them that have the rule over you, who've spoken you the word of God, whose faith follow. Concerning the end of their conversation, we need to imitate their faithfulness to God in precept, principle, and practice. Amen. What they preached and what they taught in the Word of God, according to God's Word, the principles that they set forth and the practices. And I was really blessed thinking about this message this morning to see Mark Clark get up here and preach. Was you? Every time I see him preach, I look back at his pastor. Boy, I say, thank you, Lord. You know why? He's emulating. He knows what to do and how to do it, when to do it. Why? He was taught by a pastor that followed the blueprint, that looked at that prototype and said, that's what God wants. Amen. Consider the end of their conversation. They live out their lives. They come down, get ready to go to their long home, and they do. Consider their conduct, their manner of life, that disciplined life of devotion right down to their very dying day. He inquired of the Lord this question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know, right here this morning, we see this question. See, he's going to put an end to all debate. The sons of the prophet are standing by. They're wondering what's going to happen. There's going to be no debate. No question. It's going to be all conclusive when this day is over. A very decided question for us today as preachers. I would like to ask this question today, if I may, concerning some men of God in our present an immediate past. You know, God gave me this message about 3 or 4 weeks or a month ago. I begin to think of those men that had loved me so much. I got out on my lawnmower and began to mow the grass. And I mowed and I wept all evening, thinking of the men that loved God. I thought about this text and I thought about, Lord, where is the Lord God? Earl Harvey. Is there anybody here that's been around our fellowship for any length of time that never was blessed by Harold Harvey's preaching, his ministry? Harold Harvey would be on his way to some meeting somewhere or other. He'd get 50 miles of my house or whatever. My telephone would ring. He'd say, Brother, let's go have an ice cream cone. Brother, I'm coming by for a few minutes. I can't stay long. And he would come by. The Lord needed, he needed to come by my place. I would share my burdens and my problems, and he would bless my soul and go on his way. He was a blessing to me. And the question I asked, Where is the Lord God of Harold Harvey, the man who has fallen, preacher? You're standing in the stead of great men now. Where is the God of this great man that God took up into heaven, who pastored until his dying day, I reckon? Where is the Lord God of this great pastor? There was a name mentioned here today of a man. A man asked us, where is the Lord God of Dempsey Henderson, who gave everything, left the shores of the United States of America, went on the foreign mission field. Later, he buried his wife. Later, he almost died. Went into the hospital in, I think it was St. Louis. A man of faith and virtue, man, a great man among us. He was dying. They took him to the hospital there, emergency room, and asked him about paying. Remember that? Oh, he said, my father, I'll take care of it. Yeah. And they said, we don't know your father. And he said, my heavenly father will take care of it. And they went and said to the administrator, we've got this man, he's a missionary, he's traveling, he's dying. He don't have any insurance. He said his heavenly father would take care of it. He did that day. You know what he did? As far as I understand and know, that man said, you go back and take care of that fellow. All of his bills will be paid. People wondered why he didn't stay off the mission field. He went back to his mission work and there he died. Folks, that means something to me. You know why? I heard about Dempsey Henderson just like that little funny story he told. He was a man of life. He loved to tell funny stories. But Dempsey Henderson was a little man in stature. But the first time I met him, he came to where we were and introduced himself, and we began to talk, and I began to listen. He began to talk about the Lord and his ministry. You know what I thought? I said, man, there's a giant of a man. Oh, he's a giant of a man. I always loved Dempsey Henderson for his love for God, his example of a missionary. We have a man among us today. When I was a very young Christian, people would tell me about Eugene Clark, his ministry. He took that prototype and found in the Word of God, and he looked in the Bible, and he found that blueprint, and he pastored Grace Baptist Church for years and years. It always meant something to me. Where is the Lord God of Eugene Clark? I'm not saying this to exalt Eugene Clark. I'm exalting the Lord that he served, that worked through him and in him for all those wonderful years. And then he came to Paducah, Kentucky. Look at the great churches here. What did he do? He followed the blueprint. He saw the pattern. He emulated what he saw. He stuck with the truth of the Word of God. He did it. And God blessed it. Where is the Lord God of these men today? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Folks, I travel around and I preach and I listen. You know what I'm beginning to think that some preachers are thinking? That God is in the church killing business? I don't think so. I don't believe that. Amen. I believe if God put a church in a place, if God's in it, it's God's church and God's place, he put a pastor there, whether it's got 10 members or 100 members, it's God's church. Did you know we're a mission work? We do the same thing this church does. Why? There's that prototype. There's that blueprint. Whether it's 10 members, I'm not talking about size. I'm talking about dedication and devotion and doing what God says when God says it. Amen. You know, when I go to conferences anymore, I always take a shortcut through Cincinnati. Pick up one of my Hebrews. He's here today, Brother Robert Ginn. Amen. Robert Ginn's been a blessing and loved me all my ministry almost. I met him 20-some years ago. Always a kind word, time for me, loving me, encouraging me. So when I go to a conference, I call him up and say, brother, you going with us? And I take that shortcut by Cincinnati. It's never very far. Folks, it's not too far to love people. It's not too far to reach out to them. He can't drive long distances now, and I'm not much better. My wife helps us out some. Folks, we need these men. I still learn from Robert Ginn. Brother James Kinsall, when those men are trying to slow down